use of force is something largely left to the discretion of individual police officers. It comes down to a question of whether the force used is reasonable. While some legal experts find that standard overly broad, law enforcement officers argue it's essential if police are to protect citizens and their own lives. According to Jason Ingram, there are a number of myths about how much restriction is placed on officers, even in the use of deadly force. He says the situation is exacerbated by the fact that the public itself holds many misconceptions about what police can and can't do.
Some of the common ones are that the guidelines for when force can be used are clear, but really it's based upon primarily the reasonableness standard, which is, you know, inherently broad. A second one is that officers have to use minimal force in a situation. So a lot of times questions that come up, you know, in class or by citizens is, you know, in this situation where maybe deadly force was used, you know, why wasn't a taser used? And it really it's because they're not required to. In an instance where deadly force is appropriate, then they can use deadly force. And I say that generally, you know, there are some departments that have a written in that minimal force should be considered. But on a general terms, minimal force, it doesn't necessarily a requirement. Reasonable force is what's required. And then when we talk about deadly force, there's sort of this increased standard of a defensive life standard, meaning that, you know, there must be an imminent danger to an officer or citizen in order for deadly force to be used.
Let's go back to this idea of reasonable. That's a very broad concept. Mm-hmm. What might seem reasonable to one officer is to use a taser stun gun, mm-hmm. where another officer just might try to engage in conversation, mm-hmm. coaxing.
Yes, and it is vague and very broad, and some of that is intended. In the decision in Graham v. Conner, this court said that reasonableness cannot be precisely defined or mechanically applied, and the reason for that is a lot of use of force decisions occur at a split second. But in terms of further refining the idea of reasonableness, we have state laws that further restrict maybe, or at least guide when an officer can use.
What would those say, for example?
In terms of Illinois, the law in Illinois for deadly force follows the defensive life standard, or they add the component that if a suspect presents a threat and has committed or is probable cause to believe to have committed a forcible felony, that deadly force can be used. So, you know, there's further regulations at the state level, perhaps, but more commonly, it's departmental policy. I think another myth has to do with this idea that departments have to follow the guidelines set forth by Supreme Court precedents and state laws. The idea being that they do have to follow the minimum requirements, but they can make policies to be more restrictive. You know, another standard would be sort of preservation of life. So deadly force is only a last resort.
Are we in a particularly bad period for police use of force? Or does it just seem that way because there's so much more media attention to it? There's a lot of social media outlets for seeing this kind of thing.
We are certainly in probably the most significant period of unrest in terms of police use of force and the implications it has on community since, you know, the 1960s, where we saw a rise in violence against the police and violence towards the police. So in terms of that, you know, I think we're in a period that sort of mimics or maybe sort of exceeds those concerns. But in terms of having a full understanding of whether or not it's a more serious problem, we don't necessarily know because we don't have information on that. Departments are not required to report when deadly force is used against citizens, so we don't really have a clear picture of the number. And the flip side of that is we don't know a number of times when deadly force could have been used but was not used. A lower level of force was used in those situations. So if we look at it compared to maybe some other countries, you know, our level of force is certainly higher. But comparatively, it probably has a little bit more to do with we're focusing more on the issue at this point now.
What are some examples that you've heard of here in Illinois or even locally? How does our local police departments, we have Bloomington City, we have Normal Town Police, mm-hmm. and we have ISU Police, Campus mm-hmm. Police.
How do they stack up?
I mean, in terms of force, I haven't heard, in terms of the application of force and things like that, I haven't heard of any sort of negative instances. You know, there was a few cases where it might tend to be more of like discourteous or rude that sort of amplified that. So, you know, at the local level, I mean, it's not something that has become a big issue, I would say. But, you know, in Illinois, there has been a couple of questionable deadly force shootings recently, one in April in a suburb of Chicago where, you know, it was believed to be that an 18-year-old was unarmed and shot in the back and killed by police, and that raised some controversy in that community.
What can a citizen do? A citizen, say, who is stopped in a traffic stop and is asked to get out of the car and maybe have a search done, what are their rights in that case?
I think the main thing is if they are, you know, subject to a legal stop or a search, you know, the easy answer is to say comply with officer's request, and you know that should, if a citizen is being compliant in a situation where they are sort of legally required to be compliant, then you know use of force shouldn't be used or an issue. And so it's just like common advice given for someone that is, you know, maybe subject to an arrest. You know, don't fight maybe the arrest at the time. You know, there's legal means afterwards. Now we can say that here, you know, in the confines of a radio studio, pretty you know, artificially, but sometimes those things don't happen. You know, citizens can be resistant and, you know, they may feel like they are subject to harassment and things like that, especially if it's an ongoing type of occurrence. And so in those situations, you know, you never advocate for fighting back because that can lead to injuries and things like that to citizens.
Certainly, but a charge of resisting arrest or
exactly.
Assaulting a police officer. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this other side of the coin where the idea that you kind of see now, especially on social media, where they post these memes or whatever, where it says, you know, if the police are treating you badly, have you tried following the law and then you'll be okay? And that isn't always the case.
What does that mean? By following the law, you'll be okay?
That if you're complying or not breaking the law, that, you know, you shouldn't have to worry about having force used against you or be subject to an illegal search or even an arrest. But in reality, officers can use force against people who haven't broken the law. I mean, we don't want that to happen, but it does happen. I think the James Blake incident in NYPD is a good example of
that. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, he was stopped on suspicion of, he fit the description of a suspect, and as a result of that was tackled by an officer, even though he wasn't the criminal in that case, you know. So force was still used, even though he was not breaking the law. And then the idea that all laws are sort of equal in terms of seriousness. In the James Blake case, I mean, I believe it was an instance of credit card theft. So, you know, is the amount of force used for the law that was perceived to be broken sort of equitable?
What changes would you recommend need to be made?
You know, use of force decisions and things like that, you have to balance citizens' individual rights with the idea of police officers being to effectively be able to do their job and for them to, you know, have a sense of safety. And so really the ideas of reforming these types of changes, you know, have to be considered sort of from both those angles. Because again, you know, individual rights are important, but also the idea that we have to give officers and departments the leeway to effectively do their job and also that they have safety while doing that.
Thanks so much, Dr. Ingram.
Thank you.
I'm Judy Valente.